Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you one more time. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you love us and we know it. We appreciate you. Lord, this morning as we look into your word of life, please speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let your name be lifted. Let your name be glorified. We worship you, O God. We magnify you, O God. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I want to start this morning by saying that we human beings are the ones that live in time zone. God lives in eternity. There's no new year in heaven, for example. Every day is a brand new day. Every moment is a brand new moment. It is only with us humans that we celebrate New Year. Amen? And when you look at it, it is possible for someone to say, one day is not different from another, right? If you say that, I will agree with you. One day is not different from another. Today is not different from the 1st of January. Amen? It is just another day. Praise the Lord. So when we celebrate New Year and we do all of these things, I would like for us to put certain things in perspective. The reason we do it is not because there's something special about that particular day. It is because time for us helps us to put things in their right perspectives. Every school has an enrollment. They have a school year. This is the beginning of the school year. Every business that is going somewhere will have a fiscal year. Say, our fiscal year starts in March. Our fiscal year starts in October. It is different from business to business. Not every business starts their fiscal year on the 1st of January. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the fact that we celebrate New Year is to help us, to help you, and to help me put certain things in our lives in their right perspective. So as we say this, I want to make sure I lay that foundation, because I don't want us to have all kinds of different notions that may not be exactly right. Praise the Lord. So as we have celebrated the new year, and the new year has been said to us that it's going to be the year of the overflow. Friends, I want you to know, God bless you, Sister Taiwo. I want you to know that indeed, this year will be the year of overflow. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will surprise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So at the very beginning of the year, we want to put things in their right perspective. So at the beginning of the year, a good thing for us to do is to reflect on the past year. As I have been reflecting on the past year, I am grateful for many things. And I apologize, I forgot to mention this. Daddy Rewole is also going back to Nigeria. Today will be his last Sunday until the next time he comes back. And in putting things in perspective, in the past year, I have had some very secret, covert helpers. And he has been one of them. You know, in the place of prayer, we come together and we pray, and the Lord has helped us. And the Lord will continue to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want you to know that as we have said, this year will be the year of the overflow. It is time for us to take stock. As I welcome you, I want to pray for you this morning that this year and the theme will not be a theme for you. You know, you say, oh, last year, the theme for last year was such and such. The theme for the year before was such and such. The theme for this year is now this. It will not be a theme for you. It will be your experience. I say it will be your experience in the mighty name of Jesus. And today being the first Sunday is a Thanksgiving service for us. And as we get into the message this morning, I'll start by asking a question. And I want you to think about this very well, because this might be the thing that will determine if it's going to be the year of the overflow for you. Why is it that people pray, they ask God for things. Some people get what they asked, and so many others don't. Any thoughts? I'll take 2, 3. Victor, very quickly. Why do you think people don't get answers to prayers? Please stand quickly.
They don't believe.
They don't believe. Mommy Rewoli.
They ask amiss.
They ask amiss. Yes, you. Quickly.
I don't know.
Have you, God has answered every prayer you have asked? No. Why do you think he didn't answer you? He doesn't like you. He loves you.
Maybe there is sin.
Maybe there is sin. Okay, one more.
They did something that they shouldn't have. They did something.
That would be sin. They did something they shouldn't have done. That would be sin. Praise the Lord. But I want us to start with the premise this morning that you have done everything else right. There's no sin. There's no problem. You are faithful. You love God. You are serving. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. But then you ask, and there's no answer. Maybe it's just not the right time yet. Yes, sir. Okay, what we ask for is not good for us. Yes, ma'am. Some steps have to be taken. You know, I preached a sermon a few years back. We called it, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. For some of us, if God has answered all of our prayers, we'll be in trouble today. Praise the Lord. Like I told you the other day, some people are not committing certain sins today because they can't afford it. They don't have the money anyway, so they can't commit the sin. So to pray for God to meet those kind of needs will be contrary to the will of God. But this morning, I would like to focus very quickly on what Mommy Rewoli has said. You know, one of the major reasons we don't get answers to prayers is we ask amiss, and maybe it is not the right time. If it is not the right time, you will still be asking amiss because you are missing an opportunity. You are asking. What you are asking is good, but you are asking at the wrong time for it to be done. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3, James chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You see, everything God does, he does for his glory. For many of us believers, the things we want for ourselves. This morning at the Sunday school, we were talking about covetousness. As a matter of fact, some people want the things they want so they can show off to others that I got it and you don't. Amen? Everything that God wants to do in our lives, he wants to do to demonstrate his glory. That is why the Bible says in John chapter 9, to the man that was born blind, they said, why is it that this man was born blind? Is it because he sinned or did the parents sin? Jesus said, no, nobody sinned. The only reason he was born like this is that there might be glory to the name of God. Amen. So that his healing, his deliverance, his sight being restored can bring glory and honor to God. The things that you desire, do you desire for the glory of God? Or do you want to show off to others? Amen? So when you ask amiss, the Bible says that you will not receive. But you know, if you don't ask, you don't receive. Amen? It is the will of God for us to have a lot of the things that we're asking from him. Overflow, for example, is the will of God for our lives. A huge God, a gigantic God, a big God like our God cannot do little things. It doesn't do small things. Everything God does is big. Today, I want you to please write this down. Please write this down. When you get home, I want you to read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Because today is Thanksgiving, we're going to dance, we're going to praise God. And that is our main focus this morning. You know, so we might not be able to dig very deep into all the scriptures, but when you get home, I want you to please read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. How many people will not read? I know God is here. Don't let's start the year with disobedience or lying. So nobody, everybody is going to read. Praise God. God bless you. When you read, I want you to read slowly. so you can have perfect understanding. Read slowly, and the Lord will speak so many things to your heart as you read in Jesus' name. And when you read, I want you to preferably read a contemporary English translation. You know, not King James, you know, that might confuse you a little bit. But read contemporary English translation. When you read, First Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, you are going to read about the story of Hannah. Hannah was one of the two wives of a man called Elkanah. Amen? And Hannah means favored, the favored one. But the favored one had no child. The favored one was being humiliated by the other woman. The favored one was being laughed at. There was not much favor being reflected by the life of the favored one. How many times have we seen people that their names don't match their circumstances? You have a good name, but it doesn't reflect your life. But that will change. I said that will change. In the mighty name of Jesus. We have several examples of this in Scripture. We have Abraham, the father of many nations. The father of many nations was barren for a long time. From the time of promise to the time of the realization of the promise was about 25 years. And for each and every one of those of the days of those 25 years, they kept calling him father of many nations. Can you imagine? He's walking down the street. Oh, there goes father of many nations. But he's childless. Everybody reckoned him to be the father of many nations, but he had no child. The Lord will change your story. Amen. In the year of the overflow, your story will change. Amen. You also have in the scripture, Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Pleasant takes a journey, rich, full. Her husband and two sons. Very proud. They went to Moab because there was famine in the land. And the life of Pleasant was like gall. The life of Pleasant was bitter. She said, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Why? Because her life did not reflect her circumstances. And then Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of bread in Ruth chapter 1. The Bible says in Bethlehem there was famine and there was no bread. In the house of bread, there was no bread. So maybe they call you the son of God, the daughter of God, the child of the Most High God. And people are beginning to ask you, with all these things that you are talking about, how does that reflect your life? But they will change their mind about you. I said they will change their mind about you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, there are many times that our situations and circumstances don't match the life that we have believed God for. But the scripture has told us very clearly, like we were talking about at the crossover service, there are many scriptures that tells us that it is the will of the Father for us to live in the overflow. So I want us to learn a few lessons very quickly. I'm going to run through this. We've been through this before. But I'm going to run through this very quickly on the life of Hannah. But may I jump ahead of myself very quickly to say that even though Hannah, the favored one, was humiliated, when God came through for her, it was an overflow. Because all she wanted was a son. He said, God, if you will give me one son, I will give this son back unto you. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible tells us that not only did she get that son, God gave her three other sons and two daughters. That is overflow. She wanted one, but God gave her six. The Lord will surprise you. Amen. Jehovah will surprise you. in the year of the overflow, it does not matter what they have called you or what you have called yourself. Praise the Lord. But in the year of the overflow, the Lord will surpass your expectations in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's look at Hannah very quickly. Hannah, in spite of all of her situation, and this is how you are going to experience the overflow, may I say very quickly. For you to experience the overflow, you must learn from the life of Hannah. The first thing I want us to learn from the life of Hannah was consistent. Though childless, though prayers unanswered, Hannah was consistent. The Bible tells us very clearly when you read this, 1 Samuel chapter 1, that Hannah did not give up. Year after year, she went to the same place doing the same things. In her worship of God, she was consistent. Friends, are you serving God for what you can get or for the glory that can go to his name? It might sound the same, but they are different. Praise the Lord. When my life is laid on the altar, that Lord, do as you please and bring honor and glory to yourself through my life. So at that point, guess what? It really doesn't matter what I have or don't have, because all I am seeking is the glory of his name. The glory of his name. Hannah remained consistent in her worship. Amen? She was fervent in worship. Year after year, she went to Shiloh to worship in spite of the lack in her life. Not only was Hannah consistent, Hannah was available. Here I am. Use me. Use me. Here I am. I'm available. Lord, I'm available to you. I'm available. Use me. Use me however you choose, however you please. In spite of the needs in my life, Hannah was consistent. Hannah was available. Praise the Lord. If I am going to enter and press into the overflow, number one, I must be consistent in my worship and in my service to God. Number two, I must be available for God to use me. Do you know that for Hannah, it would make sense if she didn't want to go to Shiloh? You know why? Because the other woman was always taunting her. When they get to Shiloh, because the man gives the wife and all her children their sacrifice to make a Shiloh. And the woman will be going, look at you, look at you, look at you. She was always taunting her. But in spite of everything, she did not make excuses. You know, it's easy to make excuses. Oh, the reason I can't make it is because of such and such and such and such and such. But Hannah was not like that. Against every odd, Hannah did what needed to be done. Amen? Amen? Peninnah was a pain in the neck for Hannah. But Hannah stayed consistent and was available. Number three thing I wanted to note about the life of Hannah is Hannah was God-focused. Hannah was God-focused. This story is very interesting. It's a very, very interesting. That's why I wanted to read it for yourself by yourself. The Bible says that Hannah, she knelt down and she was praying. And because of the bitterness in her heart, she was praying. She was praying, and the pastor, the prophet, the man of God, the priest saw her and said she was drunk. He said, when will you stop all this, your drunkenness? What's wrong with you? Get a life. Can you imagine? She has a need in her life. The man that was supposed to look out for her was insulting her. How many times have people stopped to serve or stopped to attend church because somebody said something? Amen? But not Hannah. Hannah was God-focused. Hannah looked up to God. Hannah said, you know what? Pastor may be missing it temporarily, but that is not going to discourage me to do what I need to do. Why? Because she realized that the best of men is man. The best of man is man. So, this is the best of all men. It's still a man. It's not God. Hannah realized that and did not allow the misspeaking of the prophet to affect her judgment of God and where God has planted her. Friends, Hannah was God-focused. It's a lesson we must learn from the life of Hannah. Hannah looked up to God. When the prophet said that, all she simply did was say, no, sir, you are mistaken. I'm not drunk. I am crying to God because of the bitterness in my heart. And guess what? The man of God was able to bless her after misspeaking. Why? Because the leaders that God has placed over our lives, God has placed certain grace upon them to be able to bless us. And the enemy knew the prophet could bless her. That was why the enemy wanted to for her to get angry. The enemy wanted to discourage her. That, can you imagine what he said? He's calling you a drunkard in spite of all your problems. Shouldn't he know? But he calls himself a prophet. Shouldn't he know that you have this need in your life? He's not praying for the need. Instead, he's speaking rubbish and insulting you. But in the mouth of that prophet, God has placed a blessing for her. Hannah was God-focused and did not allow that situation to discourage her. Number four thing I want us to learn from the life of Hannah. Hannah made a vow to God. David says something. He said, I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. Somebody was asking me 2 days ago, listen to this. Somebody was asking me 2 days ago, said, Pastor, I have a BMW I want to give away. Who should I give in the church? Listen to me. Listen to this. I've seen the car. It's a nice car. Listen. I'm going to ask her to pray and let God lead her on who to give. Listen to me. When God leads you, you don't move by sight. You don't even know the person, so you can't go and dance in front of them and say, look at me. You don't know who the person is. Okay, I see some of you, you are calculating. I think it's you don't know who this person is. So don't calculate. Because your calculation will be wrong. You can pray. Say, Lord, favor me. I changed my name to Hannah, the favored one. What am I saying? For you to get what you want so badly, you must give up something very important to you. Sacrifice. Hannah made a vow. Listen to this. Hannah is childless. She decided to pray. She said, Lord, you know what? I want a son and I want him so bad. Say, but when you give me this son, I will give the son to you. She vowed the prayer that she was praying, she vowed it back to God. Come on now. Even if you were God, would you not give her the son? She made a precious vow. You know, many of us, the temporal things are too important to us. Amen? Physical things, temporal things, they are too important to us. But she said, you know what, Lord, if you will give me this son, I will give this son back to you. And guess what? The Lord gave her not just one. God gave her 4 sons and 2 daughters. And number 5, very quickly, on the life of Hannah. And then we're going to ask, what must I do? Listen to this. And I've said this in passing already. Hannah did not hold any grudge. not to Penina, and not to Eli. Hannah forgave. Many of us, I dare say, bear grudges. There are people that when you see, even in church, all of a sudden, you're going, coming this way, and then she's coming. So, Sister April, Hannah forgave. Hannah did not bear any grudge against Penina. Anna did not begrudge Eli. Anna looked up to God completely and trusted God that God is able to do just what he promised to do. So when we look at the life of Anna and we see these five lessons about consistency in worship and service, about availability, about being God-focused, about making a vow, about forgiveness, then what must I do as a person? Do what Anna did and do more. You know, there's always the danger when you are making a list that it gives the sense that that list is exhaustive. This list is not exhaustive. The five things I said, perhaps when you read for yourself by yourself, God will even tell you more. Amen? But I want to tell you five more things very quickly, and I'm going to close so we can go into Thanksgiving. What I must do to press into the overflow. What must I do to press into the overflow? Five things. Number one, have faith. Have faith. Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Friends, it is my considered opinion that many believers don't believe God. We believe our employer. We believe in our paycheck that it will come at the end of the month, but we don't believe God. When we talk about the overflow, it's kind of an euphoria. The overflow. Do you really believe? Do you have expectation? There was an expectation I shared with one person, just one person, apart from my wife. I shared with one person. I said, and the only reason I'm telling you is so that when I begin to share the testimony that this is what I believed God for, and it has happened, you'll be able to bear me witness. Have an expectation. If you believe God, you will have an expectation. There's a story of a little town that had a drought for so long. So the pastors in the town decided to gather to have a prayer meeting in the evening to pray to God to cause rain to fall. So everybody came gathered ready to pray. And this little boy came with his umbrella. And it was very hot. The sun was high. Everybody was like, "What? We don't need an umbrella. We want to pray for rain. You are bringing umbrellas. There's no rain. That's why we came to pray." He said, "Yes. I believe after we pray, it will start raining. So I brought my umbrella." That is faith. That is faith. When you believe God, you begin to take steps in the right direction. It's like somebody that is believing God for a child. You are believing God for a son. Buy his clothes. Begin to make plans. That, Lord, I know this year, decorate his room. Get the room ready. It's like a chicken that is nesting. Number one, have faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, everything that we can see is temporal. And the things that we cannot see, they are eternal. Friends, you must believe God. The things that you don't see are the realest. If there's any word like that. It's the most real. Yeah, we're making up words now. We just add it to the dictionary. Praise the Lord. It's the most real. You say, oh, I don't believe in x-rays and all of those mess. X-rays has caused people cancer. That's why people that work in radiology department, they wear a badge all the time that measures the amount of radiation they're exposed to. The things you cannot see are the most real and the most serious and the most significant. Next week, by the grace of God, next week Sunday, I'll be talking on significant or relevant. Significant or relevant. Well, let's continue very quickly. Friends, children of God, this is the mistake a lot of people have made. You know, I believe God, I have faith. Faith does not make you lazy. In fact, faith makes you work hard because you believe. A lot of people have used the excuse of faith to become lazy. No, the object of faith, because I know this thing will be a reality, I begin to work and make plans and do something towards it because I believe it. I begin to walk along those lines because I believe God will do it and it will happen. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question this morning. I've asked several questions and I hope you are noting the questions. If there was something you knew you could do and not fail, what would that thing be? If there was something you know, if I do it, I cannot fail, what would you do? You see, what I'm getting at is the reason many of us don't venture to do things is because we're afraid we will fail. You don't want to fail, so you refuse to venture. If there was something you know, if you did, you cannot fail, what would you do? What would that thing be? What would you aspire to become if you know you can't fail? Say you know you can run for the office of the presidency of the United States of America and win. Would you run? Not for people like me. We are naturalized citizens. They won't let us. But if you know you could become that, would you? More than likely, yes. The reason we don't venture is because we are afraid of failure. But I say to you today, have faith in God. Look at your neighbor. Say, have faith in God. Have faith in what? Have faith in God. Number two. Number one is faith. Number two is persistence. You know, there's a big word I like to use here, and the Bible uses it. It's not, you know, importunate. Be importunate. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, 1 to 8. It tells us about the importunate widow. The importunate widow was the one that went to a judge that has a reputation for wickedness. Everybody knew this judge that he didn't fear God and he didn't fear any man. But this woman was importunate. She was persistent. In the face of hardship and difficulty and constantly being rejected and turned down, she persisted. She didn't give up. She continued. She kept pushing until the judge listened to her. The judge said, even though I don't fear God and I have no regard for man, said, but this woman will weary me to death. Let me answer her. I guess the question really is, how bad do you want it? The overflow. How bad? How bad do you want it? There's another story in Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 from verse 5 to 11. Luke chapter 11 from verse 5 to 11. About the importunate friend. The Bible says this friend has a guest from out of town and he didn't have victuals. He didn't have stuff in the house to entertain his guest. So he runs over to his friend's house and begins to knock and say, I need to get some stuff. I have a guest. He said, even though he will not answer him as a friend, but because of his persistence, he will answer him. Friends, if you are going to enter and experience the overflow, you must be persistent. Number one, you must have faith. Number two, you must be persistent. Number three, which is what we're doing right now, is fast. In Mark chapter 9:28-29, Mark chapter 9:28-29, the Bible says the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, they prayed, they did everything, they were casting out a demon. Nothing happened. Jesus came in one breath, in one sentence, he cast out the demon. He said, Master, how come we couldn't do that? He said, this kind. It doesn't come out. He said, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Friends, it is a guarantee that God wants us to live in the overflow. Our scripture of the month, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. He said, God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I may think or ask of him according to his power that is at work in us. Listen to this. He said, whatever I can think or ask, God can exceed. Is somebody hearing me? Sir, if I can think about it, if my mind can wrap itself around it, if I can imagine it, if it can enter into my mind, it says God is able to exceed it. God will exceed it. But there has to be fasting and there has to be praying. Friends, I encourage you. There have been people asking questions about the fasting. You know, how do we fast and all of these things. First and foremost, I'd like to say if you are on medication, then you might want to consult with your doctor before you get yourself off medication and begin to fast. Praise the Lord. It's a wise thing to do. You know, suppose someone has high blood pressure that they are controlling with medication. The first thing you must pray is for God to take control of that high blood pressure. Amen. And there is nothing too difficult for God to do. We just talked about faith, right? Many years ago, my mom is here. She's alive to bear me witness. It happened to her. Many years ago, she was scheduled for surgery because she was determined to have fibroid. And her belly was growing by the day. And we believed God. She believed God. That was like at least 30 years now, if not more. 30 years. 36. It was 1986. 28 years. Some people were not born by that time. You were born. I know you were born. But, oh, I just shouted you out. Oh, no. Praise the Lord. But she's alive and well today. No fibroid. Hallelujah. She did not have the surgery. God healed her. So God is the healer. Amen. But we need to take care of that. So the fasting is from you fast all day until 6 o'clock and you break in the evening. During the fast, you can drink water. You can drink tea. But no cookies. No cookies. You can drink tea, you can drink water, but no cookies. Can you add sugar to the tea? Okay, now we are pushing the button. I'm pushing the limit. Okay, you can sweeten it to taste. Praise the Lord. Friends, before any great thing will happen, usually there is a fasting that precedes it. Jesus did not start his ministry until he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure. You know why? He paid a price. He had to come like a man to show and prove to us that it is possible. Praise the Lord. And if Jesus did it, he said, greater works you will do, greater works I will do. I will walk in the overflow. I will experience the overflow. In every area of my life, I will experience the overflow. Overflowing anointing, overflowing grace, overflowing favor, overflowing goodness, overflowing mercy, overflowing blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. But I must learn to fast. We're fasting for 100 days. Somebody say amen. 100 days. And if you want, you say, oh, 100 days is too long. There's a way you can shorten it. If you want to fast, they call it dry fasting. Dry doesn't mean absolutely nothing. It means you drink water and juice for 30 days. Then it's equal to 100 days. Yeah, oh, wow. Oh, really? Praise the Lord. Amen? So fasting. What must I do? Number one, I must have faith. Number two, I must be persistent. Number three, I must wait on the Lord in fasting and also in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. You know, this is my experience. And I'm sure it's the experience of a number of people as well. My experience is whenever I am fasting, I'm a light sleeper. I sleep very, very light. You know, I'll just wake up, and as I'm waking up, my spirit is already praying. My spirit is already praying. I just pray. Everything becomes easy. When you fast and you don't pray, you are on a hunger strike. Okay. It's not hunger strike. You are dieting. You want to lose some inches. And you will. If you don't eat, you will lose inches. Praise the Lord. But that's not the purpose of this. We're not trying to lose inches. Praise the Lord. I'm able to fit into some of my old dresses now. Since we started fasting. Praise the Lord. But the first thing I must do is I must have faith in God. I must believe in God. Amen. Number two, I must be persistent. I must hold on and believe God until my salvation comes. Amen. Number three, I will wait upon the Lord in fasting. And number four, I will wait upon the Lord in prayer. Amen. And finally, as I close, so we can go into Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. Say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. Friends, you must learn to give thanks. I have seen that for a lot of believers, thanksgiving is difficult for them. When we want to pray prayer of warfare, Lord, kill my enemy. God, destroy the... Everybody... But say, but let's thank God. Father, I thank you. That's it. You must determine and cultivate thanksgiving as a lifestyle. The Lord told us before three things about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a choice. It's not based on circumstances. I choose to thank God. I'm not thanking God because everything is working out all right. I'm thanking God because that I am alive is enough for me to give thanks. Thanksgiving must be an attitude. It's a way of life. And thanksgiving is a matter of perspective. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. When you thank God for those things that you desire, you will see them get better. You will see things happen. You will see things come to you in the name of Jesus. We have seen many examples in the scripture. The time that Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, what did he do? He gave thanks. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When Jehoshaphat was going into battle, what did he do? He blessed the name of the Lord. He praised the Lord. As he praised the Lord, what happened? The enemy started killing themselves by themselves. It was not a warfare prayer. It was a praise and a worship and thanksgiving unto God. Please rise to your feet this morning. We've talked about five lessons from the life of Hannah and five things that you and I must do. Number one thing I must do, I must believe God. I must trust God. God is worthy of my praise. He's trustworthy. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. He has the power to do all things. And he has never failed and he will never fail. Why don't you talk to the Lord this morning and just give him thanks? Thank him for your life. As I've often told us, if you have anything you are complaining about this morning, it's because you are alive. That is what has given you a right to complain. So for keeping you alive, why don't you give him thanks this morning? Just thank him. Bless his holy name. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you. We magnify your name. We extol your majesty. For Lord, you are good. Lord, you are kind. You do miracles. You are awesome. Beautiful for every situation. Worthy, 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 worthy are you. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Excellent Jehovah. Marvelous Jehovah. There is no one besides you. No one greater. No one mightier. Blessed be your name forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Jehovah, I have delivered your word unto your people as you have instructed. Lord, I pray that you will quicken every word in our hearts. Lord, we will not just be hearers of your word, but Lord, we'll be doers of the same. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Lord, in the year of overflow, Lord, let it not be a tagline for us, but Lord, let us walk in and experience the overflow in every area of our lives. Overflowing joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.